Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Anyway, guys, share the link. We're about to start unloading Revelation.
Oh, yes.
Milk and honey.
Let me share something, then we share get into man talk. Give me Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. We are getting into man talk, but Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Read for us.
Having become so much better than the angels.
Who is he talking about?
Jesus.
Okay.
As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
You know, yesterday I was someone picked me up from somewhere, and I was in the car, and I was listening to the audio Bible. Yeah. And when I just went, let me listen to Hebrews. And you know, I've read Hebrews so many times. But man, this verse hit me. I even made some noise. The person driving thought I'd seen an object on the road, because they thought we were going to crash or something. It hit me so hard. And I don't know whether I should share the revelation with you or not. The people on YouTube, they are not saying anything whether I should share the revelation from this verse.
Redeem us, please.
Switch them off.
I'm not so sure.
The people from Nakawa don't look happy.
Especially the ones from Luzira Muyenga.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor Moses is happy.
Anyway. Our time is limited, so maybe let me share. Okay. Even as the people on YouTube.
Thank you.
Start deciding. Mm. So, having obtained a more excellent name than they, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It hit me so hard that a more excellent name is obtained by inheritance. And not by
hard work,
effort, or work. Because in the same book, the Bible calls the angels ministering spirits. That means serving spirits, servants.
Yeah.
Who are sent to minister to those who have
heirs of salvation.
Who are heirs of salvation.
Yes.
But even at a practical level,
yes.
In your kingdom of the Biamanzi kingdom.
Come on, what a kingdom.
I'm sure there are people who help you, who work there, and they work harder than your children. But they cannot obtain a more excellent name than the children.
They really
because a more excellent name is obtained by inheritance.
We are understanding, Apostle.
Not by work or effort. And there are many of you who God has brought you into spaces of inheritance. So for example, if you have natural parents, they have inheritance for you. Imagine you are the daughter of let's talk about the people we talk about who have money.
Mr. Mukisa.
Like Elon Musk or whatever. And then you decide that you're just going to work for your life, and you know, you go work in the bank, you join one of those banks, you know, Exim Bank of China, to work so hard to try and become an executive in the bank.
But
your name is Musk.
Yeah. Peter Musk.
You see that everyone will be confused. If they find you at work, they'll be like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why do you work here? What are you looking for?
What do you want?
Just wrong.
You are spying.
Yeah.
Maybe they've planted you.
They've planted you here to.
Maybe you want to buy the bank.
The thing. Yeah. Let's see how it works.
So in the natural, that's how it is. But that's how it is also in the spiritual on one or three levels. One, our salvation.
Yes.
It's by grace, not by works. Lest anyone should boast. You can't work for it.
You
obtain sonship of God. Where you are adopted into the family, and you could carry God as your last name, by inheritance.
We are heirs of God and joint heirs.
Oh yes,
Christ.
But those are very high things.
They're
let's come down to earth. And you have parents. Or you could be in a ministry like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not... You go around struggling in the ministry. Maybe you're an MC shepherd, you're a zonal pastor, location pastor. You're working so hard to make the PGA, PGA. Mercy. It's not PGA-ing.
Mm.
And you don't know that those are inheritance things, not hard work things.
Talk about it.
And that you obtain a more excellent name in the ministry by inheritance.
Wow.
Man talk.
You can listen to this segment a couple of times at your convenience.
Oh yeah, that's a lost mask. Now
that is true.
A lost mask.
Someone said by Apostle, they've gone, they'll see you next week for
they've
the
next left.
No, MC Live is done.
They've thanked you
first
so much.
Share the link. We are still in man talk.
They've gone.
Yeah, their money is finished. So the man and his maker, we looked at that last week. The man and his mission is what I want us to look at today.
Come on.
He said, let us make man in our own
image
and in our own
likeness.
And what's the next thing?
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
So man was made with a mission. You came out of your mother's womb with a mission. It's a complete waste of time to live a missionless life. The reason people have midlife crisis is because it's a natural course correction to help people stop chasing the no mission life.
Mission.
The reason people have depression sometimes, it's because they are off mission.
Yeah.
A man on a mission is not going to be depressed.
Not at all.
Because the thing that is occupying their mind is the mission. A missionless life is not a life worth living.
Yeah.
And many people get up and they start living life without a mission. Now, especially when you're a man of male species, that's very dangerous. That's why midlife crisis doesn't usually hit women.
By the way. No, honestly, yeah.
Wow.
By the way.
I'm not allowed to drop the mic, but I could drop the mic.
We will grab it.
You just dropped it.
You just dropped it.
Midlife crisis rarely hits women, if ever. They were created to be helpmates of those who should have the mission. And like someone said, if a girl
leaves a man
with a mission and goes with a man with a television, he will soon be watching the man with the vision on the television.
Oh yes.
So I ask you, brother, do you have a vision? One of the challenges that a lot of the ladies have in finding men to date, especially in church, that's why many times we have a lot of men who could be dating some women, and they are all of marriageable age, and you're in the fellowship, and you have talked about it, you've taught about it, you have even set up like hookup environment, and they still no hookup. It's because the men have no vision. And any girl with anything between their ears is not going to easily go with a man with no vision.
Wow.
A man without a vision is not a romantic man.
Apostle.
Go
deeper, man of God.
Man of God.
Go deeper.
It's getting personal.
It's getting very personal. Mm-mm. You're blessing us. Mm-mm.
What makes a man attractive is the vision they carry.
You're telling the truth.
Yeah. When I married my wife, I was earning 150,000 shillings a month. It wasn't even enough to take care of basics. But I had a vision.
All right.
And she threw in her lot with me because I had a vision.
Wow.
I told her we're going to change the world.
Oh yes.
Hey.
We're going somewhere.
Somewhere. Oh, yes.
You see, the direction you're facing matters.
Vision is romantic.
Mr. Glory.
You're preaching.
Oh yes.
But Apostle, are the words enough when they come and tell us, baby,
no,
we
no, they
change
should be showing.
World.
They should be showing.
Because they're going to come and start telling the girls those
things. Okay, at least let them tell. What will they tell? What are you going to do? What's your vision?
Just, I believe.
I believe in what? In God.
In the vision. God will take us somewhere.
No, where is
when
the
I
vision?
See you and me, we are going somewhere.
Vision is a picture of the future that elicits passion.
Yes.
It's the picture of the future there.
What if they are going to
die? You're taking me from my father's house. Where are we going? Where are you taking me?
To do what?
Apostle, where?
I'm doing it.
Apostle, you are touching a very sensitive point. Yeah. But I'm feeling that online mostly the women are the ones commenting. Where are the men online?
The men are quiet online.
It is personal. It is personal.
The men are quiet online.
They are discovering their vision.
The men are quiet. Men.
Why are the men not saying anything?
Why are the brothers silent?
But they are on mission.
Brothers,
they are on mission. Now.
Brothers, your silence is too loud.
It's too loud. It's too loud.
It's too loud online. Eish. So as a man,
yes,
you see, like women, when we look at you, we like the eyes,
the
nose, the hair, the makeup, the hips.
The hips, my God.
The shoes, I don't
the
know.
Shoes.
The
nails.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're beautiful to behold.
But what do you look for in a man?
Like purpose, where are we going? You're going
that's
to leave
like
me.
A person who says they're looking for a tall, dark, handsome man. That's so shallow.
They don't know what they are.
You can't be looking for physical features
in a man.
Mercy,
yeah,
Lord.
A man is not made up of what you see.
Hey!
A man is made up of what they carry,
oh, yes.
And what they see
that
they are going to carry.
Oh, yes.
Ladies, are you listening to your father?
Hey. Apostle, my disciples are online helping us.
But yeah. Tokula is saying the men are busy on mission, they don't multitask.
So that's why you'll find
Apostle, you just said the powerful thing.
Sensible
there.
Girls, even if a guy is there and he has muscles a six pack, they will walk right past.
Hey, Apostle! Studio is going wild.
This is. Hey.
This topic is too much for me. A big belly in a Range Rover any day looks better than a six pack on a bicycle. Give me the belly.
It's better than a six pack on a bicycle.
I don't mind a big belly in a Range Rover.
A six pack has a vision.
I don't mind. Yeah, it's coming
unless
something.
Unless the six pack has a vision.
But Jesus says that big belly is carrying something.
That big belly is carrying something. It has vision.
No.
The people in studio need to control themselves.
People in studio, sit down. Control yourselves.
Wow.
So,
Apostle, the men have come back.
The men have come back.
Yes, they are online.
The men have come out.
Pastor David, we see you. Blessed Simon, we see you.
Felix.
Teacher Clarence, we are wrong, we see you.
Blessed.
Thank you for coming back. Ariko Kamara.
What is Ariko saying?
The mic makes a six pack.
You can keep it, sir.
So, men. the vision makes the man.
Oh, wow.
Men, we are created to lead.
Wow.
Girls are frustrated because they are helpmates, but they need to be helping with something.
Oh, yes.
Now, when the person who is helping you comes and they even have bigger vision than you is being helped.
That is a frustration.
That's called frustration.
Yes.
The girl wants to build 10 hospitals. You want to build a 2-bedroom house. But she's your helpmate.
And she's supposed to follow.
Well,
and she's supposed to follow.
I don't know, man.
You're the head.
You're the head.
Yeah.
Where do we go? So men need vision. Men without vision are dying.
Oh,
are
yes.
depressed.
Oh, yes.
Men without vision end up with the wrong group, with the wrong friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because when you have a vision, that vision will lead you to the right people.
Oh, yes.
It will lead you to hang out with the right kind of men.
Oh, yes.
Because you're trying to go somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Why are you in a bar drinking every night? Because you lack vision. If you had a vision, you would know that first of all, you shouldn't destroy your liver because you need your body to carry that vision for a long time.
Come on.
Yes. Apostle,
why are you using drugs? Because you lack vision. Because you know, if with vision, you know that that is how you're going to destroy your vision.
Wow.
Why are you committing adultery? Because you lack vision. Because if you had a vision, you would know that you need a helpmate to help you take that vision to its conclusive end. And you cannot start compromising this relationship.
Yeah.
So I find that the lack of vision is responsible for a lot of pain in the lives of many men and women and their children. And their fathers and mothers.
Come on.
So men need vision. Say something. Mine was start.
What a starting. Me, I have two things. One, a question, and just something that came as you spoke is when we started the series of flourishing in God's house, the first reason why we should build a mega church being that just in trying to build a mega church.
Yes.
Just in trying to do something big.
The vision will make.
The vision makes the man.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to do something big, it's who you become. Just in trying to do something big. So when you're explaining a man who doesn't have a vision, and then what happens is that instead of going that way, you come in. It's like you cave in.
You shrink.
You shrink back and you shrink. And then, and I think because naturally God created from the beginning that you should be someone who's dominating. It's like there's something in you that's saying this is wrong.
Yep.
So then you have these feelings of depression, of worthlessness, of, and then you're trying to numb them with sex and drugs and all these things. But that's not the solution. The solution is not to numb that feeling. It's to respond to that feeling and rise to vision. Then the question comes in at that point, Apostle. If a man who's listening right now and they're in that state, they're in the state where they actually, there's a time I came to you and I was telling you about some men and I was saying, Apostle, there's no engine, like no amount of rebuking, no amount of conversation. It's like no matter what you do, the person just
won't move.
And so the question then is, how do we recover from this place where maybe I feel like also something happened in the world where the girl child in a good way is good that we look out for them, but I feel like it became a bit extreme and now every advantage was for the woman, and so you reached a point where it's like the boy child one, it's like they had to they are silenced.
Yeah.
Their opinion, when you speak, it's like you're offending, so it's like the man, something happened to the men instead of coming out and being this bold, you know, go-getters and what. It's like they had to be careful not to offend, but also they had lesser opportunities, and it's like we've reached a certain point where things have tipped over, and there are many young men also who have been raised with fathers, and so there's something lacking. So my question is recovery.
I don't know. You need God, the man and his maker, and then you need the right kind of men around you, and you need a mission.
Wow.
It's up and out. The maker, the men, and the mission will help a man to recover.
Yeah.
But the man must take responsibility
Thank you.
Yeah.
For it. You know, the people who disciple you, they are not going to come and baby you.
Oh.
And look, you're already 40 years old, okay?
Merci.
You're already 35.
Apostle.
Yeah. You are 35. You should be paying your own rent or building your own house. You can't be having someone else take care of you. It can't work. So, that's what it is. So you need God, you need other men, and you need the mission. The man is maker, the man and the mission. And when he who, what does the Bible say? He who hangs out with the wise, that's quite a translation. He who...
Imagine it has left my head. He walks with the wise.
He who walks with the wise will be...
Becomes
will
wise.
Become wise
but
himself.
But
a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, if you want to become wise, start working with wise people.
Wow.
Yeah, find people who earn more than you, are doing bigger than you.
Yes.
Their marriage is better than yours.
Yes.
And,
yes.
It's, and start desiring to
fellowship
be with them.
With them, yes.
To fellowship with them.
Yes.
Seek mentors. Make appointments.
Yes.
Don't just sit back and say, ah, those ones, they've been like, we have suffering. Don't create a fellowship of the sufferers.
Wow.
Because then you're going nowhere.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
So that's what must happen. You must pick yourself up. Men, yeah. men. It's about time. I know the world may have dealt you a big blow. Don't stay down. Staying down doesn't help you.
Oh, yes.
Okay? Other people may come and help you, but at the same, you know, even when they help you up, it is your legs.
Is your legs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you have to use your own legs to stand and to start walking.
Yeah.
You can't just keep buckling over and say, even me, I don't even want to stand. No. at the end of the day, you must get up and start walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there is the approach of, you know, just nurse that wound until it can't heal.
Yeah.
But, you know, every time they tell you, brother, Why are you?
My daddy wasn't there.
Yeah.
When
my P5 teacher caned me.
Mercy, Lord.
That's why I cannot arrive early at work.
But seriously, that's how.
Yeah, that's how people reason nowadays. Now. You pick something that happened 30 years ago and you stick with
you
it.
Stick with it and say,
that's my story.
Yeah.
They pinched my ears.
Yankube
Ngolo. Soccer to start again.
You've learned to function.
Then the kids of the 70s and 80s will be dead. Have no brain left.
So, if you think about it, every man we remember in history,
we remember them because of the vision they carried.
We don't remember them because of the eyes. Do you remember Martin Luther King because of his eyes or his nose?
I don't even care.
Or his shoe size? Or his hairstyle?
Not at all.
Or the color of suits he wore? No.
Wow.
What do we remember about MLK? The vision of ending racial segregation in America.
Yeah.
That's the vision he lived and died for. That's why he's celebrated up to today.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Here is a thing. I can bet you don't even know his siblings.
No. I don't.
So you don't even know which family came from. You don't even care what family came from. You don't know MLK's siblings.
Not at all.
Not even his parents.
You don't even know his parents.
Sometimes even the children.
So all the things you are taking to be important right now, refusing to serve God, there will be a disservice to you 50 years from now. Yeah, you're refusing to serve God because of your children, because of your marriage, because of your parents, because of your where you come from, because of your siblings.
There's always something.
There's an excuse you're giving because of your boss. 50 years from now, no one will remember any of those things. It will be strictly what you did with your life in serving others.
Yes.
What a word.
The original Martin Luther, the who nailed the 95 theses on the door at Wittenberg.
Yeah.
Do you know his shoe size?
Apostle.
Do you know if he had the six pack or not?
I'm sure he didn't.
Do you know how heavy he weighed on the weighing scale?
No one cares.
Do you know his siblings?
No.
Nobody knows and nobody cares. All we care for is that he unleashed the Reformation that changed the church up to today.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Hey.
Even if you went to people who may not have stood for like kingdom aspects.
Yeah.
Henry Ford, the guy who's the motor car. What do we remember about Henry Ford?
The vision.
Yeah. Thomas Edison, the vision.
The vision, the light bulb, yeah.
Do you know Isaac Newton was a virgin until death?
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isaac Newton never had a wife,
never had
a beloved, a girlfriend, nothing. The one who discovered the laws of the motion. He was a Christian. He was a man of God.
Yes.
Wow.
But he lived a life of chastity.
Wow.
But you saw that little detail, no one knows.
No one.
You studied Isaac Newton's things in secondary school. Physics. Mm. The first law of motion. Mm. An object continues in its state of rest or uniform. Continuous state of rest or uniform movement until an external force makes it act otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We still remember those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know in earth, you call us Swasa.
Even us, we are there.
But we remember them for the vision
they
carried. Thomas Edison, the people said, we must find a way of making people use electricity.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Bill Gates. Remember them for their vision.
Of trying to
make sure that people have access to personal computers.
Yeah.
Nothing else. The only thing that you'll be remembered for is the vision you carried or the vision you were a part of.
Yeah.
Over to you.
Wow. Apostle, I don't know whether you answered this question in answering Pastor B3, but so I am a man. I'm hearing I need to have a vision. How do I find my vision?
Where is my vision?
You see, the two things actually I wanted us to talk about vision in terms of finding vision. One, there is the basic vision that God has given all who believe.
Exactly.
In Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Go therefore and
make disciples
of all the nations.
Baptizing them
in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Before you go into which vision, there is one which has already been given to us.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Start there, because that's a vision
that's
going to change other people's lives.
Absolutely.
For which, when you enter heaven, there will be a whole host of people welcoming you.
Wow.
That's a vision worth living for.
Yes.
Because, you see, this is a vision, the vision of the ultimate man who ever lived, Jesus. This is his vision.
Wow.
And by the way, as a man, you find that you'll never have a vision that is really your own.
No.
You're always just adding on to other people's vision.
Absolutely.
So everyone wants to be an originator, but your real whatever will not be in being an originator. I mean, what are you going to come up with? The Bible says everything has already been done. There's nothing under the sun.
Yeah.
What's going to make you become something is when you add on to what MLK wasn't the first person to fight segregation.
No. Right, no.
Martin Luther wasn't the first person to agitate for reformation, for faith alone.
Yeah. Yes.
There were others before him, John Huss,
and others
who had come before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like 100 years before, they had been fighting. So he just came and added. It's like when you have been all pounding the same door and it's not fully opening, and then don't go start pounding the wall saying the door has jammed. Add your efforts to what others are doing. That's how you'll make a breakthrough.
Wow.
But our pride prevents us from joining hands with others and minding the same thing.
Wow.
So that's not a wise way to live.
Yes.
Whatever you're trying to do, someone has already done it before.
Oh, yes. Mm.
So get your hands dirty doing the same things. But as Christians, we already have a vision from our Lord Jesus, which is to make disciples of all the nations. And if we lend ourselves to that, other things will come. Mm. You find that everything else you do is really to help you do that one vision.
Absolutely.
Of making disciples.
Wow.
Yeah, you may get a job in the bank so that you can continue to make disciples.
Exactly.
Because you need to provide for your family.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
You may start roasting maize by the roadside so that you can make disciples.
Yes.
Whatever your hands get, that's why it says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord.
Not unto men.
Yeah, not unto men. If you're doing it unto the Lord, that's how it gets meaning.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, if any vision is about you,
miss,
your own glory and aggrandizement, it's the wrong vision.
Yeah.
Wow.
All godly vision points outward.
Outward.
Yeah.
All satanic manly vision points inward.
Inward.
Me.
Yeah.
I will.
They ask you, what's your vision?
It's to travel the world. Yeah.
Is it?
To what end?
Just so that I see the world.
So that you
me.
The
visit
yes,
the
me.
10 great cities of
cities
the world.
Of the world. That's
to
world.
What end?
Yeah.
That's so not a godly vision.
No.
Yeah.
That's a satanic vision. How do I? What do you mean? It's Satan who says,
I will ascend. I will go
to the highest place. That's Satan. That's those are satanic thoughts of
yes,
I will be
will.
This.
Yes.
I will be Miss Universe.
Yes.
I will be whatever.
Yes.
I will win a Grammy. Those are satanic visions.
To what end?
Shatter.
To what end?
Yeah.
Self-glory.
Self-glorification. Mm. A godly vision is about other people.
Ma.
I will help 1,000 children access education. That's a godly vision.
Ma,
I will build a hospital that solves people's problems. That's a godly vision. I will plant 3,000 churches.
Yes.
That's a godly vision. So that people can get saved and
yes,
they know Christ and
yes,
they're deployed.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm, create a million jobs. Why not?
When your vision is to win an Oscar, that's a satanic vision.
Apostle,
because it's all about
tables.
You.
Oh, yes.
It's all about
how
you help others.
Yes.
I'm sorry for using such strong language, but sometimes it is needed.
Necessary.
Because you may be
generation.
Heading in the wrong direction
yes.
towards a satanic vision.
And
anything where it is,
so
I will ascend, I will be the one celebrated, I will step up to the one. It's a satanic vision,
yes.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
All godly vision is about others.
Always. Every
Always.
Single time. Every single time. My goodness.
Wow.
Why? Because even after you're dead, the godly vision that's about others continues
you beyond. It will outlive you.
Yeah.
There's a man called Lester Samuel. He was a hectic pastor in America.
Yeah.
He planted a church in the Philippines. He went back to America. He became an evangelist. He was the very first person to preach regularly on television.
Wow.
Yes.
No, actually, no. I think ought to register a television station, a Christian television station, something like that. And he started an organization called Feed the Hungry.
He's
because
the one.
In the latter years of his life, God told him, go feed my children.
Wow.
Up to now.
Up to now,
all
Feed the Hungry
world.
Feeds 30,000 children
every day. Wow.
And he's long
every
gone.
Day.
Wow.
Lester Samuel died so long ago in the 80s.
Yes. But his vision is carried
But his vision, people are getting food in their stomachs every day, 30,000.
There are also people who have joined and worked to.
And there are people
who
are now
there.
Helping
yeah.
that vision
yes.
to make it come to pass.
Wow.
You think you can feed 30,000 children a day and you go hungry yourself?
How is that possible?
Oh, and your children are the ones who go hungry. Those with a vision of feeding your children. You think you can feed 30,000 children and yours go hungry? You think you can educate 500 children and yours go uneducated?
No.
You think you can house 10 families and your family gets thrown out on the street?
Wow.
You think you can clothe 10,000 destitute people and you lack clothing? You see, we got it twisted.
Yes.
Yeah. The day you wake up and start caring about others, you will never lack anything.
Wow.
So that's the man and his mission. Talk to me, people.
Hey, Apostle, two things. One, I was amazed because I, the only thing in my head before you started talking about these two things was that very thing. And it's because I'll never forget, about 2005, you were insisting that we write down our purpose in a small group. And so it was so confusing to me. We'd write on a paper and we'd have to share with your neighbor what your purpose is. And we're all asking you, like, how do I come up with purpose? And the only thing you told us about 20 years ago was, it must be about others.
Yeah.
And it has never left me. Like, for me, all I knew is that if purpose is not about others, it is wrong. Mm. Because what's that? So, yeah. And that's where you find fulfillment. Because, Apostle, some of the men that we are talking about are not people who necessarily are doing nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
They are doing something, but it's all about them.
Yeah.
So they feel empty. Because there's a man who's probably going to watch and say, but I'm working hard and I'm still empty. But it's because
end?
To what end? Yeah. It's just so that you feed your family and build yourself a house and just do, and then what?
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like you've answered so much just in that moment to say, listen, the world is going to tell you that purpose is about you.
Yes.
But actually, real, true, godly purpose
is
about others every single time.
And the more it's about you,
the sadder you become.
Yeah.
And the more it's about others, the happier you become.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the second thing for me was that you provided through this movement, even this whole week is about frontiers.
Yes.
Like at a small level in the missional communities. I hope you're now understanding why we are saying you must engage a frontier.
Yeah.
Go into your community and do something for someone else apart from yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if you don't know what to do as a small family, we can go out together and start some form of breakthrough about engaging with purpose beyond ourselves.
Oh, yes. No, Apostle, the reason I ask that question is many times we engage with different men, and sometimes I hear people say, for you to find your vision, your purpose, you need to write down the things you're passionate about. You need to write down the things that maybe you're good at. You need to write down the things that make you... You're trying to find purpose
from inside yourself.
And it seems like it's like there is no purpose that comes out of that eventually. And yet, I think what you have said is profound, that in understanding the vision that God has given us, all of us, then we can find our place in the big God vision. Yeah. And the other thing that came to my mind is, I know it's used for usually finances, but if you're not faithful in another man's, who will entrust you with what
with
is
yours?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what came to my mind, that if I'm not faithful to serve another man's vision, then there is no way God will allow me to steward a certain vision that is my own. So as a man, then it becomes very critical for me to find a man. Yes, God has given us a vision, but there are certain men he has given the grace to interpret this vision in a particular context and community. So for me to submit in that interpretation of the vision and live and be faithful with that. Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
What made Daniel great is not being an emperor Babylon.
No.
No. It was to serve the emperors of Babylon.
Yes.
And he turned out greater than them.
Yes. Oh, we don't even know them.
Yes.
What made Pharaoh, rather Joseph great, was to serve Pharaoh.
Pharaoh's vision. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember Pharaoh's name.
It's a title.
Yeah, as in I'm trying to find his name, but Joseph's name I know.
Oopsie daisy.
Daniel's name I know.
Oopsie daisy.
So it's what made Simon Peter great was to serve the vision of Jesus.
Yes.
So sometimes we think everyone must go out and start something new. Then there will never be anything big.
Yes.
Nothing.
Because big things are stewarded by lots
many
of people.
Many people.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And we must always understand that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we must stop here for today. because there's cake in MC's and what.
Wow.
So, we gotta stop. So, you're watching us and you've never really given your life to Jesus. Tonight, right now, whether you're watching this by night, by day, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So In the name of Jesus, I implore you to give your life to Him, because you cannot have real vision without knowing God, the God who gives vision. We're talking about the man and his mission. If your mission is about yourself, you'll always turn out disappointed. It can only be about others if God is helping you to see others, others in need, others who need your care, others who need your time, who need your resources. And that's what's going to make you a remarkable man of God or a woman of God. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today. I give my life to you.
I give my life.
Forgive me my past.
Forgive me my past.
And give me a future with you.
Give me a future.
I acknowledge that you are my Lord.
And my Savior.
And that you died for me.
And that you died.
And that you were raised from the dead.
And that you are raised
from the dead. And that you are alive forever.
And that you are alive forever.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
that
Spirit.
That I may walk with you.
That I may walk with
the
you.
The rest of my days.
The rest of my days.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, we know you're born again. There's a number on your screen. 0775-642449. Or if you're out of the country, you have the country code +256 775-642449. We love you. And we know that God is taking you places that you would never go by yourself.
Yes.
And even as you go back into your mission or communities to talk about the man and his mission, I implore you, sign up to serve on a team at your location.
Yes.
That's how you start. You don't start by leading a location. No. You start by serving on a team at a location. Because if you have not been faithful in that which is another person's, who will commit to you your own. So may God bless you. May He fill you with His Spirit.
Amen.
With all joy and peace.
Thank you.
May you lack nothing good.
Yes.
May this be a week full of miracles and divine interventions
in
every aspect of your life.
Jesus.
Do not confess negativity, regardless of what's going on with the economies of this world. May there be a word of God on your tongue constantly, because He has already provided for everything you need, and you'll never lack anything good. May God bless you, increase you, multiply you, and make you great and strong as you serve others. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Let's again appreciate Lucira Muyengazon of Worship Harvest Nakawa, who are with us in the studio today. We love you.
For listening to this teaching, we hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.